In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. My beloved, it is a blessing for me to be with all of you today. It's a huge blessing for me to receive this invitation from my father, Abuna Shenouda and Abuna Marcus. It's been quite a while, we haven't seen each other. So it's nice to be here. I haven't come this far west in a while since COVID. But it's nice to take the blessing of St. Mary and her parish. My understanding is that we have begun a series on the different churches that are mentioned in the book of Revelation. And I will have the blessing of sharing with you a little bit of what it is that we can learn from the Church of Philadelphia. So today, God willing, we'll take a little bit of time to take a look at seven different points that have to do with the Church of Philadelphia. So let's go ahead and jump right in. We are going to read specifically from the book of Revelation, and we're going to pick up with the message that is sent to the Church of Philadelphia. We'll take our time to read it, and you will notice that there are certain passages that are underlined and highlighted. And we're going to try to take a message from every single one of those 7 points that are mentioned there. So we'll go ahead and begin reading together. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy and he who is true, he who has the key of David and he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you a door and no one can shut it. For you have little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command to persevere. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, and to our God be all glory. My beloved, there's several ways that we can study together the book of Revelation. We know that the book of Revelation is a mix of different literatures. We know that it is prophetic, we also know that it is poetic, and we also know that the book of Revelation was written, inspired through the Holy Spirit to point to things that are truly mysterious. Things that, yes, are prophetic to come, but also things that point to realities that are happening at the time of St. John the Evangelist who wrote it. So I want to give you a little bit of context as to who these people are who are in Philadelphia. Because if we understand what they are going through, at the time when they received this message that was given to St. John through the Lord Christ himself for this specific church, we might have a better chance of understanding what the message is for us. So we know that this was a very rich and prosperous city. Philadelphia was a city that is found in modern-day Turkey. It was in the area of Constantinople, and it was a very rich city. But in the year 17 AD, this city was hit with a humongous earthquake, an earthquake that devastated the entire city and all those who live in it, to the point that the destruction from this earthquake was so bad that the Roman Empire actually exempted the city of Philadelphia from paying their taxes. And this is something that doesn't happen. The Roman Empire collects taxes from everyone, but they refused to collect taxes from Philadelphia for 5 years. And the reason they didn't collect the taxes is because they wanted to help the city to be able to get back on its feet and to be able to prosper. Now we know this happens in 17 AD, but this is the reality of the newborn church that exists there in the very first century. It's a city that is being rebuilt. It's a city that has a reputation for being very rich and now is experiencing extreme poverty. So the Philadelphians who lived there at the time of Jesus, they wanted to receive the help and the support from who? From the empire. They wanted the Roman Empire to help rebuild them so they can go back to being the big and prosperous city that they once were. But the new emperor who comes into place at the end of the first century, his name is Domitian. And Domitian could not care less about the people of Philadelphia. He doesn't care to help them in any way, to the point that he is jealous of the fact that they have a fertile land. Philadelphia was known for its vineyards. They had incredible growth of vines, and so their wine was among the best in the empire. But Domitian wanted Rome to be the greatest when it comes to producing wine, so he forced them to destroy their own lands. The emperor forced them to destroy their vineyards so that no one would compete with Rome. So these are a people that are hurting. These are a people whose economy is destroyed. These are a people who are struggling at every level, and they feel like everyone is against them. Now add to this the small group of Christians who are neglected by their own people. Not only is the empire against Philadelphia, but the Jews are against the Christians. And this is actually important to understand, because what was a Christian in the first century? He was a Jew. All Christians were once Jews. But they were Jews who believed that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, that he has come and fulfilled the prophecies. So it was normal in the first century for Christians to coexist with Jews in the synagogues. So they would go to the synagogues and they would tell people, these prophecies are fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. These prophecies point to the man who came and he was born in Nazareth. He is the son of Mary, and he was killed and risen from the dead. And Jews would live with Christians until finally the Jewish nation had enough of Christians, and they decided to tell everyone they are not Jews. They must be kicked out of the synagogues. So what do we have in Philadelphia? We have a people and a nation who are already broken. A nation and a people who have no economy. A people and a nation whose Roman Empire hates them and is not helping them rebuild. And if you are a Christian in that nation, your troubles are that much worse, because you have no community, you have been kicked out of the synagogue, and there is no place for you to go. So the Christians who are in Philadelphia are completely alienated. They feel completely secluded from the rest of the nation, because their own people who are hurting are not even giving them a chance. I want you to imagine if one of us was kicked outside the church for any reason. Imagine the feeling of running into another community member outside in the streets, and that person knows that you were kicked out. Imagine coming to the door of the church and you are told you are not allowed to pray here. Imagine trying to enter into the church, the place where you have found your identity, and somebody stops you at the door and they say, you are not welcome here. You are no longer one of us. This is what the Christians are experiencing when they are receiving this letter. So even the lives of the Christians were at risk. Why? Because in the Roman Empire, if you were a Jew, you were not obliged to say that Caesar is God. And this is something that all Roman citizens would say, that Caesar was a god. But if you were a Jew, you were given exemption. So the synagogues would give a list of their people to the guards, to the Romans. And if they knew that you were one of the Jews, then you didn't have to worship or offer incense to the statues of Caesar. But now you're a Christian and the Jews say that you're not one of them. So what's expected from you in front of the government? That you will worship Caesar. So now Christians are kicked out of synagogues and they are expected to worship the pagan gods, and now their own lives are at risk because the Romans want to kill them. Everything is going wrong for the poor people of Philadelphia. Everything is going wrong. And it is in this state that they are receiving the message of the Lord Jesus Christ through the evangelist. We're going to look at seven messages that he gives them very quickly. A few minutes on each one. The first one, he tells them, I am holy and true. Secondly, he says, I open and no one shuts. I shut and no one opens. He says, thirdly, you have kept my word and have not denied my name. The fourth thing he says is, I will know, all will know, that what? That I love you. Number five, he says, hold fast and do not lose your crown. And finally, overcome and I will make you pillars. Let's begin with the first one. He says that he is the one who is holy and he who is the one who is true. Why does he say this? Because they have lost hope in the people that they trust. They told us to trust in the empire, and the empire hates us. They told us to trust in the synagogues and the leaders and the high priest, and they hate us. They told us to trust in the apostles, and they're all getting killed. Who do we put our trust in? Who do we put our trust in? And sometimes it is very normal for even us as Christians to feel the same way. Who do we trust? Do we trust the secular world to raise our children? I don't. I definitely don't. And if any of you are teachers, God bless you and reward you for your efforts, but you know better than I do why we shouldn't. We're going to trust in the world to teach us what is right and what is wrong. But today, left is right and right is left, and up is down and down is up, and everything is confusing. Are we going to trust in governments to help us raise our children and to help us establish our homes and to help us find our salvation? Absolutely not. We can't. Are we going to trust in our neighbors? And we have identified that even our neighbors are subject to corruption and sin, and everyone is broken and everyone is hurting. بنكتشف ان ايه ان احنا ملناش غير مين ملناش غير ربنا. We have no one else but him. Not spouse, not brother, not sister, not child, not anyone but him. Only he is holy, and only he is true. Everyone else is fallen under the corruption of sin. And even though they don't mean to, we will be hurt by those that we love. The only one who is incapable of hurting me is him who is holy and him who is true. And he is writing to his people who are broken and hurt, and he says, I am holy, I am true. And he's telling them, turn to me. And then in the 4th century, we have St. Gregory the theologian, the one who wrote the liturgy that we pray. And he says in the anaphora, he says, holy, holy, O Lord, and holy are you in everything, and most excellent is the light of your essence. We declare through the prayers of the church that we know that only he is holy. Do you know what holy means? The word agios means what? Out of this world. He is supernatural. He is not like us. He is different from us. We know that only he is the one that we can put our trust in, that we can put our hope in. Because I know that I can't trust anyone who's like me, because I don't even trust me. Who is my own worst enemy? Is it not me? Am I not the one who has made the most promises to myself, and I have broken them? Am I not the one who is supposed to be constantly looking out for my best interest, and yet I am always the one getting myself into trouble? I know that I cannot trust myself. And so I go and I offer my life to him willingly. I say, you be king in my life because you are holy. You are agios. You are outside of my reality. You are greater than all of us. And you are true. In the same liturgy in the anaphora, St. Gregory says, as a true father, you have traveled with me, I who had fallen. And again he repeats, as a true light, you have shone upon the lost and the ignorance. Only you are truth. There is no deceit found in you. There is no lie found in you. What you have said will happen, and you have no agenda other than loving me. You have no purpose other than saving me. In the same passage, the second message that the Lord gives to the people of Philadelphia, he says, I am he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Remember, these are a people who, when they came to the synagogue, what did they find? Doors that are shut. These are people who turned to their own government for help, and they turned them away. So what does he say? I control the door. He says something even more powerful in the Gospels. He says, I am the door. I don't just open and close. I am the very door. You come through me and you're good to go. In John chapter 10, it says, I am the door. And if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You know, it is a very scary verse for me specifically as a servant in the church. It's in Matthew chapter 7, where he says that in the end times, people will come to me and they will knock and they will say what? Lord, Lord, open to us. And I will tell them what? I do not know you. And they will respond and they will say, but Lord, we have cast out demons in your name. We have healed the sick in your name. But Lord, I gave sermons in your name. I baptized children in your name. I prayed liturgies in your name. And his message to me can be what? I do not know you. Tabhao. How can I use your name and not know you? The same way that we treat each other. Do you know so-and-so? طبعاً أعرف فلان. ده احنا أصحاب من زمان ولا نعرف بعض خالص. بس نفهم الناس إن إيه؟ نحن يعني لينا كده إيه؟ ده احنا عشنا حياة مع بعض. And we know nothing about each other. We don't ask about each other. We don't care about each other. But we give the impression that we know about a person. But there is a difference between knowing about someone and knowing someone. When Christ tells those people in the end of days, I do not know you, what is he really saying? You never knew me. You never came to me. But he tells us, I am the door. I will not close the door in your face. But let me be clear. There will come a time when the door will shut, and when I shut, no one opens. But if I open, no one shuts. Saint Ignatius of Antioch, an early church father, who was killed in Rome when they took him from Antioch as the bishop, and they threw him into the Colosseum in Rome. And if you know anything about the Roman games of the gladiators, they used to use the Colosseum as a way to torture Christians. They would take Christians and put them in the Colosseum, and they would unleash wild beasts, tigers and wild boars and lions and bears, and they would watch the Christians get destroyed and devoured by these wild animals. They took this bishop of Antioch, Saint Ignatius, and they placed him in the Colosseum, and he was devoured by lions. And when his own people tried to save him, his response to them was what? Let me receive the crown. Let me receive the crown. Let me be chewed under the teeth of the beasts as wheat that is ground down and offered to my Lord. What does he say about this idea of the door? He says, Christ is the door of the Father through which Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the prophets, the apostles and the church all enter. All these enter into the unity of God. The same door by which you will enter in that same line stood Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Stood all of the prophets and all the righteous men and women of the old times. Stood even the Holy Virgin Mother, because even she enters into the kingdom through her Son. He's telling these people who have seen doors close in their face that you have nothing to worry about. Let them close their doors. My doors will be open. The third message he gives them is, you have little strength and you have kept my word and have not denied my name. He's telling them they have worn you out. خلاص انتو تعبتو, he's telling them. He recognizes that they have little strength left. He says, but you have kept my word and you have not denied my name. In Luke chapter 10, we are told through the writings of this gospel writer that let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold on to what we have received. Let us hold on to this idea of the promises of God. But sometimes we feel like there is nothing left for us to hold on to. Sometimes we feel like I have no more strength. We look at God and we say, what? أنا وصلت على آخري, أنا خلاص مش قادر. I can't anymore. I can't. But the Lord says, I would not have given you this unless you could. Endure till the end. There is one very specific woman in the church, طبعاً other than the Holy Virgin Mother. But this one very specific woman in the church, I remember the first time I heard her story, I don't understand the courage and the faith that it takes to do what she has done. Her name is Mother Dulegi, Umina Dulegi. This woman, When the Roman guards showed up and the governor shows up and he's killing everyone in the city, she tells her children, yalla, line up. Yalla, line up. Yalla, line up. طب صدقوني انا ممكن يعني انا اطلع جبان واحط ولادي في الطابور وانا اجري. And she's telling her children, come and line up. And when they come to kill the children, she insists, you kill them first, not me. Why? Because I want to see them receive the crown in case I need to encourage them and they lose faith. People who hear these kind of stories and who are not Christian, what do they hear when we say these things? Entunes maganin, people are crazy. What do you mean a mother offers her children? This also reminds me of the reaction of the family members of the 21 martyrs of Libya. That when they were interviewed after they saw their children get slaughtered, the reaction of some of these mothers were what? That if I saw the man who did this to my boy, what would I do? I would thank him. لا انت فيك حاجة مش طبيعية. There's something not right. It's not normal. But these are people who are holding on to the confession that they received. These are people who have been told, you have kept my word and have not denied my name. صدقوني الكنيسة لسه مفتوحة لغاية النهاردة بسبب الناس دي. بسبب الناس دي. It's because of these people's faith. And it's up to me to try to raise a generation through my own children and through my own actions where this can continue. Because I know that He is faithful. I know that when He says that every one of my hairs are counted, that He is not lying. I know that when He says, blessed are you when they persecute you and falsely accuse you of things for my name's sake, I know that He will bless me. I know that He is faithful, even when I am not. And to these people who are broken and where the doors have been shut in their face and they cannot enter into the community of believers and even their own governments and their own people have turned against them, He tells them, I know that you are tired, but believe me, I know that you have not denied my name. I see what you have offered. I see what you have suffered, and it will not go in vain. He says, I will bring those people, and He calls them the synagogue of Satan. The synagogue of Satan. Those people who think that they are Jews, but they are not Jews. Is it the pew that I sit in, that turns me into the Christian? Somebody once said, if you sit and sleep in your garage, that doesn't make you a car. It is not because I come and I sit in the pews of the church that makes me a Christian. I don't want to be part of the synagogue of Satan. Those who are found in the building, among the people, in the community. But I was the guy at the back saying, shut the door in his face, shut the door in his face. I'm afraid to be among them. But what does he say is going to happen to them? I will bring them before you and they will worship before your feet and they will know that I have loved you. I have loved you. ساعات الواحد بيسأل نفسه بيقول يا رب يعني لو انت جيت في وسطينا تاني دلوقتي هنعمل فيك ايه؟ What will we do if Christ comes among us? What will we do when he runs after the Zacchaeus of the 21st century? What will we do when he refuses to come to my house, but he chooses to go into the streets and to help those who don't know him? What will I do when I see him hanging out with the sinners and the brokenhearted? What will I do when he tells me that he loves every person equally? Just as he loves me, he loves so and so and so and so and so and so. What will I do? Will I fall down at his feet and worship him because I recognize that he is God? Or will I crucify him because he challenges everything I believe in? He says in Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. There will come a day where the enemy of mankind, وخدوا بالكم, my enemy is not the atheist, is not the Muslim, is not the Buddhist, is not the person who hurt me or stole from me or who sinned against me. Who is the real enemy of humanity? It's the devil. He will crush him under our feet. We were never meant to look at each other as enemies. We were always called to look at each other as those for whom his blood was shed. Regardless of the offense that I have committed against you, or regardless of the offense you have committed against me, we were always called to see each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. The real enemy of mankind is the devil. Saint Isaac the Syrian, he teaches us and says what? Do not ever fall into the sin of anger with him who is the sinner, but rather hate him who planted the sin in his heart. I am called to hate only one being, him who is truly the enemy of mankind. And then he says in Jeremiah and reminds me of just how much I am loved. He says, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. So why would I question what will happen to me if I know that he has an everlasting love for me? Why would I lose hope? Why would I fall into despair? Why would I think that my sin is greater than my God? Why would I think that there is something that can be done that can make him love me less? Do I really think that God is that petty? Do I really think that God is offendable? Sometimes I think that I'm tempted to think that God is like my biological father, that if ever he finds out that I did keza or keza or keza, that hayamsikni wa hayamil fayya. And I fear God the way that I fear my biological father. And God forbid that my children ever think that God is anything like me. عشان أنا بدي وأنا بطئمس وأنا بعلي صوتي وأنا بغلط. بس لازم نعرفه إن ربنا أحسن مني بكتير. That God has loved them with an everlasting love. He says, hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. That no one may take your crown. In the book of James, the apostle writes and he says to us, blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. They will receive the crown of what? The crown of life. But only if you endure temptation. I remember, for those of you who might know him, I grew up in Montreal and there was a very blessed father. I know Abuna Shenouda knows him very, very well. He is now in the kingdom of God. His name was Abuna Arsenius Sirri. Abuna Arsenius can be dina masal, yani, الواحد صعب قوي إن هو ينساه. The example that he used to give us as young men and women growing up, he used to say, I want you to consider that God treats you the same way that the baker, the servant, treats the urbana. So what does he do? He takes time and care and compassion and love to create the perfect mix of ingredients. And then he slowly sets you aside and he covers you and he makes you comfortable. And so you grow because of the leaven that he put inside you. And then you grow, you grow, you grow, and you're happy because the very next thing he does is what? Is that he takes you and he caresses you and he forms you. And you feel the warmth of his touch. And you love the fact that he is slowly molding you and preparing you to be perfect. And then he does something wonderful. He takes his stamp and he places his seal on you. And you feel so special. You feel so special. Then what's the very next thing he does? He sticks you in the oven. And then he sticks you in the oven and things start to get very hot. Very hot. And then he walks away from the oven and you can't see him. And you don't know where he went. And the heat increases and increases and increases, and this is becoming more and more uncomfortable. And you look for him, but you can't see him because he's walked away. And then you feel yourself getting harder and harder, and you're not soft and malleable anymore. You feel yourself growing thick skin and getting harder. And just when you think that you can't anymore, just when you think you're about to burn, he comes and he opens the door and he takes you out. And he offers you to the king. And you become the perfect offering that will be chosen to be offered to the King of all kings. We think that God allows us to endure because he hates us or has forgotten us or is neglecting us. But he is turning us into the most precious offering that we can be. Saint Didymus the Blind, he comments on this idea of the crown that we will receive. And he says, the person who has fought the hard battles will be perfectly able to handle anything. Someone who comes through his troubles in this way will be duly prepared to receive his reward, which is the crown of life prepared by God for those who love him. For those of us who have suffered troubles that we feel are too big for us to handle, God will give us the courage and the strength to be able to endure much more. And this is where we are reminded of the Holy Virgin Mother, St. Mary. على فكرة احنا مش يعني مش هقول انتو انا هكلم عن نفسي انا شخصيا انا مش حاسس بيها انا مش قادر اتصور قد ايه يعني امنا العذراء دي تعبت بسبب الخدمة اللي ربنا كلفها بيها. Do you understand what it means to be a young woman in your teenage years and to be given this task of carrying the Savior? I just came out of the temple. They just told me to take care of this old man whose name is Joseph and who is righteous. We're not even fully married yet. And the intention was never for us to be able to consume the marriage. I'm going to be his servant girl and he will watch over me like a father. And you're telling me I'm going to be pregnant? Everybody's going to know it's not her, it's not him. Everybody's going to know that this conception has nothing to do with him. And when they find out that I am pregnant and they know that it's not him, they're going to assume what? Then I'm adulterous. And what do we do to adulteresses in the first century Roman Empire? We stone them. تبلاش. How am I going to explain this to him? أصلا هقول لك. جالي ملك. والملك قال لي انتوا بتهزروا يعني I'm going to explain this to Joseph, this old righteous man, that this has happened to me. She doesn't even ask, how will he know? She doesn't ask, how will you protect me? All she says is what? I am the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your will. And if this isn't enough, there's going to be a census and you're going to have to go to Bethlehem. And when you go to Bethlehem, all the relatives of Joseph will close the door in his face. This is an important point. When you go back to Bethlehem, this is your city. You go back to the place where you were raised. فأكيد جوزيف عنده مين؟ عنده أهل هناك. ما هو ما لقاش أي حد يفتح له الباب. You didn't find a single person in your own nation who would open the door to you. One of the fathers comments and says that they refused to open the door to him and to the virgin because it was scandalous. This woman's pregnancy was a scandal. So not only will you travel and you will go to Bethlehem, but your own people will reject you and you will give birth to the Savior among animals. And if that's not enough, they're going to try to kill the baby and you're going to have to go to Egypt. Go where? ما لقيتش إلا مصر. Egypt at the time of Saint Mary, in the mind of the Jews, was still the place of slavery. It hadn't received the light of Christ yet. This is where there is Pharaoh. This is where we have history. This is where we were once enslaved. You want me to go to Egypt? How will I go to Egypt? Riding on a donkey. Riding on a donkey. And you'll hide there for a little while. And when you come back, we'll talk about how you're going to see your son die on the cross. She endured to the very end, and this is why we celebrate her. And this is why we say what? Why? why does she deserve these crowns? Because she endured. If we keep our eyes on her with everything she endured patiently and willingly, then we also will be inspired to endure. The last thing I will share with you, my beloved, is the last statement that he makes before he says, "Let those who have ears to hear, hear what the Spirit says to the churches." He says, "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God." I will make him a pillar. I will share with you a quote from Abba Arsenius, one of the desert fathers, who says, "Strive with all your might to bring your interior activity into accord with God, and you will overcome exterior passions." Work on the inside and watch the outside fix itself. But work on the inside. نيجي نشوف مشكلة في الكنيسة نقول إيه؟ أبونا لازم يغير ولازم نكلم المجلس ونشوف الخدام بيعملوا إيه؟ بس الحل إيه؟ الحل إن أنا أتوب. I look at my children in my own home. They have to learn to be respectful. They have to learn to speak properly. They have to learn to be more focused in their studies. But what is the real solution? Fix yourself to be the icon of Christ and they will get fixed. I have a problem with my spouse. He doesn't listen. She's not patient. He is this. She is that. What is the solution? Fix the interior and watch the exterior. Slowly get healed. But as long as I think that the problem is outside of me, good luck with that. I have to first address what is happening within me. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. How do we overcome? By addressing what's inside. The people of Philadelphia, if they were going to wait until somebody comes and fixes the government, they're all going to die before they see any change. If they were going to wait for the temples and the synagogues to suddenly accept them, they will have died before anything would happen. So what is he telling them? You can only control your reactions. Have hope in me. Put your faith in me. The reward is coming. Endure patiently what you are undergoing now. My beloved, the message that is given to us today as we study these different churches in the book of Revelation is one that applies to us today. It's not just a message that was written 2,000 years ago. And it is up to us to try to take these messages and apply them in our lives. And just as they apply to the churches for which they were written, we can also take a look at our Holy Virgin Mother, St. Mary, and realize that she took every one of these messages seriously, even though she never heard them. Because in her obedience, and in her surrender, and in her love for God, she became the greatest offering that humanity could offer. We call her what? We call her the pride of the human race. اللي هي تبقى فخر الفخر البشرية. Is that right? حاجة كده يعني تفهمني يعني. Why do we call her the pride of the human race? Because in Tazbihah it says what? That the Father looked from heaven and saw no one like you. No one like you. God who looked down at every generation, not a single one was that like that little teenage girl. If we think that he could have just picked any girl, and yalla, nakhallas, then why didn't you just pick the first girl that came out of Eve? Well, let's get it done. But he waited for the pride of the human race. He waited for the one that would say, "I am the maidservant of the Lord." If we keep our eyes on her, if we ask for her prayers, if we ask for her intercessions, then she will pray that we have the strength to follow these orders, these commandments that have been given to the Church of Philadelphia. May her prayers and supplications be for us, and may her prayers and supplications be our source of strength in all of our lives. And to God be all glory now and forever, and unto the ages of all ages. Amen.
For you are the pride of the Virgin's Mother of God. prosen nefterentes eotokos, smavim penso tirent efkanen nobin anebol jefes marod jevyot nemeshirin emdeb nevma es oe, tetries egike volten oshtemos tentiuna.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
الإله الذي قطع كل ربطات قطيرة من قبل الأم خلص المحية الذي نفخ في وجه ترمين القديس يونس راتار قال لهم receive the Holy Spirit who send you remit are remitted to them and those which were retained shall be retained لأن أيضا يا سيدنا من قبل رسك الأطهار أنعمت على الذين يعملون في الكهنوت في كل زمان في كنيسة المقدسة أن يغفروا خطايا الأرض بتحر ربطات الظلم. Now also we ask and entreat your goodness and love of mankind for your servants, my Father, my brethren, my weakness, those who bow their heads before your holy glory, dispense unto us your mercy and lose every bond of our sins. If I have committed any sin against you, knowingly or unknowingly, or through anguish of heart, and deed, and word, from faint-heartedness, do, O Master, who knows the weakness of men as a good and philanthropic one, grant us the forgiveness of our sins, bless us, purify us, make us absolved, and all your people of God. Fill us with the fiance, the eternal, and your holy goodwill. For our God, the glory, the honor, the dominion, the adoration, and you to good Father, Holy Spirit, the life giver, was of an essence with you now at all times and unto the ages of all ages. Amen.
Amin alleluia zok sabatrike yoke agyob nevmatike nikai onestonia onona Maje oben choice is as bechrest as monia irented ves monima oem of your roes moni city nim nesim maria beknainem tekirinia in softem beklao sotiem mono ono in on kiriele son kiriele kirie flogis on emines moeroes moeroes timetania con evo con besmo
mo bechrest sos penoti
mina se shobe
orun de tirene mona Prinsim nantik dinkan open any volley to come on a messman and Amahashani Amin. Make us worthy, pray to you, thankfully, our Father, who art in heaven.
Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as we give us this day our dear man. Forgive us our trespass, those who trespass, and lead us not temptation, but there is some evil one in Christ Jesus our Lord, for us, the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Nashkur Mahabbat Utsabuna Antoni ala tashrifu lina wa risala jameela. بتاعت كنيسة فيلادلفيا وافية ومش محتاجة تعليق. ربنا يثبت كل كلمة قلناها سمعناها من أبونا في قلبنا وتبقى منهج لحياتنا إن شاء الله. بكرة آخر قداس في صوم الست العذراء أم النور قداس 8:30 لغاية 11. هو قداس سينيور بس هو يعني مفتوح للكل علشان النهضة وكده. ف more than well